up your hands unto the Lord and give Him praise today. Amen. Stand with me if you're able. If you're willing and able-bodied today, stand with me as we turn to the Word of the Lord. Amen. I've got something on my heart I want to share with this body today. If you'll meet me in the book of Genesis, the 8th chapter, we're going to be reading verse 13 through 22. Genesis, the 8th chapter, verse 13 through verse 22. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise for all of our visitors today and for His presence. His presence, the song says, is heaven to me. Oh, how I don't ever want to go back, Brother Basil, to having church without His presence. Y'all, I can stay at the house if I don't want to feel the presence of the Lord. I want to be in the presence of the Lord today. I want to be in the presence of the Lord today. Genesis, the 8th chapter, the 13th verse. The word of the Lord says, and it came to pass. Hold on just a second here. And it came to pass in the 601st year. In the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. The Bible says that Noah removed the covering of the ark, and he looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. Verse 18 says, and Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and he offered burnt offerings on that altar. Verse 21 says, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. Verse 22, and while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest time, the cold and the heat, the summer and the winter, the day and the night shall not cease. You know, we often talk about the ark that Noah built. But today I want to talk about something else that Noah built. I want to talk to this church today about Noah's altar. Noah's altar. Noah's altar. Let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord all over this house before we're seated in His presence today. Come on, somebody shake off those heavy bands today. Somebody lift up those holy hands today. Let all God's people praise the Lord in his house today. He's good. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He's good today. God bless you. You may be seated for a few moments in the presence of the Lord. What a wonderful presence of God we have felt in this place today. Sometimes I have a hard time even deciding if I should preach or not. As you all usher, do such a wonderful job ushering in the presence of the Lord. But I do want to share with you something that the Lord placed on my heart this past week. I want to talk to this church body for a few moments about Noah's altar. We learn so much when we read our Bibles. Hopefully, many of you have began your bread reading program this year. Hopefully you're, you know, a month into your text, a month into your scriptures, and you're beginning to develop the habit of reading God's Word. We learn so much from the life of Noah and Noah's family. None of what we learn of Noah is more significant than what we learn from Noah after the storm is over. We read about God's warning to him. We read about how the Lord gave him very specific instructions, Brother Paul, on how to build the ark, how long the ark should be, how tall the ark should be, what animals should be in the ark, what the ark should be created from, and what wood should be used to build the ark. And we think so much about the storm that was coming and the warning that God gave Noah and the ark that God specifically told him to build to save his family. But nothing that we learn of Noah is more significant than what Noah did when the storm was over. Come on, and the cover was lifted. And Noah's eyes witnessed the destruction that was upon the face of the earth. And the door came down and Noah and his family came out of the ark. Nothing is more significant than what Noah did when he came out of that ark that day. The ark has rested upon the earth again. And Noah and his family come out of the ark and they look at uncertainty. You've seen things after a flood. You've seen things when your basement flooded. How many remember when our basement flooded down the street? My Lord. Those of you who was there, you walked in and you're like, oh, my Lord, have mercy. About bring tears to your eyes. The destruction, the catastrophe, the ruins, the mess, the disaster. Come on, there's a lot to clean up. There's a lot to fix. There's a lot to figure out. But one thing Noah did know was that the Lord had saved him and that the Lord had saved his family. That the Lord had spoken unto him, that the Lord had given him instructions to prepare for his storm. How many know God will give us instructions? How many know God has given us instructions? Amen. And one thing that Noah knew was that the Lord had spoken unto him. The Lord had given him instructions to the saving of his house. The Lord spoke to him. But now the storm was over and Noah's world was in a mess. The Lord had blotted out every living thing upon the face of the earth except for Noah and what God told him to take into that ark. How many know sometimes our lives are torn apart? How many know sometimes things don't go as planned? How many know that sometimes everything around us crumbles? Sometimes things don't work out the way that we wanted them to. Sometimes we are left with no choice but to start over again. And the question arises, what should we do first? What should we do first? Noah gave us the answer to that question. Noah built an altar. Noah built an altar. Jesus told us in his word, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Can I tell this body today that your ark will always lead you to your altar? Oh, yeah. Let me tell you something. When God speaks into your life, when God delivers you, when God restores you, when God comforts you, when God rebuilds you and redeems you by his blood, when he forgives you of his sins, when he infills you with the power of the Holy Ghost, God, your ark will always lead you to an altar of prayer and offering unto the Lord. Can I tell you, it's not about what you did during, or it's not about what you did before. It wasn't about what Noah did before the storm. It wasn't about what Noah did during the storm. It's about what Noah did after the storm. What are you going to do when chaos ensues? What are you going to do when trouble comes? What are you going to do when all hell assails you? What are you going to do when the devil comes at you with everything he's got? I tell you what you better do. You better open the door of the ark. You better get out of there and you better build yourself an altar to the Lord. You better present unto him a sacrificial offering of praise and worship unto the Lord of glory today. Clap your hands and give him praise today. Noah taught us in the midst of the chaos, build an altar unto God. When life gives you all it's got, when the chaos is before you, when you don't understand why things are the way they are, build an altar to God. Build an altar to God. Let me tell you something. When he came out, the destruction was in front of him. Man, I can only imagine. I remember a time the men had taken a fishing trip down to Lake Cumberland. We were on a striper fishing trip. It was a men's church fishing trip. There had come a great storm. The waters had been flooded. And I remember, Brother Carl, when we got out on that boat and we were traveling around, I remember seeing all of the logs floating everywhere. The destruction, the chaos. Let me tell you something. When a flood comes, it leaves a disastrous situation. Noah opened the doors of that ark and he looked upon the face of the earth and all he saw was the drama and the disaster and the chaos and the destruction. Let me tell you something. Many times your life's going to find you in the same exact situation. There's going to be times in your life, you know, a storm's on the way. The Bible says it's inevitable, Brother Brad, the storms of life are going to come. We're going to face things that are common to man. We're going to go through stuff we don't understand why we have to go through it. We're going to face things that just don't make no sense to us. They're going to leave us in a bad situation. And when we open the door of our ark, because God has been good and God has seen us through the storm, when we open the door and we look back, all we're going to see is the destruction that was left. This is exactly where Noah found himself. The damage was visible. The chaos ensued. The destruction was before him. Let me tell you something, but Noah set a tremendous example. He came out of that ark that day. His wife, his children, his sons' wives, and all of the animals that were with them. And he did the very thing that he needed to do. He built an altar. Ah, God, somebody hear this preacher today. I know life ain't been fair to you. I know people have hurt you. I know people have turned their backs on you. I know life has dealt you some cards that you did not deserve. I know that chaos and disaster are before you, but I'm coming to tell you today, if you'll hear this preacher, you can have the same results that Noah had if you'll just do what Noah did. Noah came out and he faced it head on and he said, I know what I need to do. Everything around me's tore up, but I need to get a hold of the Lord. And he built an altar unto God that day. Everything that Noah had was in that ark. Everything he had left, Brother Levi, was in that ark. His safety was in that ark. His food that remained, all that he had left to eat was in that ark. His provision, his protection, Brother Eddie, was in that ark. He came out, no doubt in Noah's mind, Brother Teddy, he had a million and one things to do. I got my family, I got my wife, I got my children, I got my sons, I got their wives, I got all these animals to tend to, I got to build a new house to live in, I got to make a new plow so I can sow some crops and I can dig up some fields. I got so much to do. But let me tell you something, he put first things first. I come to tell this church today, if you'll learn to put first things first, there ain't enough chaos, there ain't enough destruction, there ain't enough calamity, there ain't enough flooding, there ain't enough, all hell don't have enough to throw at you. You can build an altar to the Lord. You can have the same result that Noah had if you'll just put God first today. Clap your hands and magnify the Lord all over this house. We got to put God first. We got to put God first. We got to put God first today. Everything he had was in that ark. Everything he knew, everything that was left was in that ark. His place of rest. And all of these things were weighing heavy on Noah's mind when he came out of that ark. So much to do. So much to clean up. So much to make provision for. But can I tell you today, sometimes your own logic will get in your way with God. All of these things in Noah's mind, let me tell you something. Noah knew what he should do. Noah knew what he needed to do. But more importantly, Noah knew what he had to do. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of things we need to do, but there's one thing we must do. And that's put God first in our life. That's put God first in our life. Let me tell you something, Brother Greg. I have left my house with my basement flooded and went to church. I'm not tuning my own horn, so please don't take me there. I've left cars, Brother Basil, broke down in the driveway and hitched a ride to church. Come on, I've left cars stranded on the side of the road deep in the snow and called somebody and said, can you pick me up for church? Why? Because I understand I got to put God first in my life. Noah understood we got to put God first in our life today. If you want the same results that Noah got, you got to do what Noah did. And you can't let the things that you need to do get in front of the thing that you have to do. And what you have to do is put God first and build an altar to the Lord. Before he had a place to lay his head, he needed a place to worship God. Before he had to make a plow to plow the field, he had to have an altar to meet God at. Come on, somebody. Before all these things, before the drama and before the disaster, come on. He needed a place to seek the Lord at. If you ain't careful, you'll find yourself allowing your flesh to put everything you need to do in front of what you have to do. And that's seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all, what's the Bible say? And all these things shall be added unto you. Let me tell you something. You cannot go wrong with putting God first. Before Noah attended any of those things that were demanding his attention, how many know so many times in life there are so many things that demand our attention? If you ain't careful, the busyness of this life will consume you. The busyness of this life will give you every excuse you need not to find your way to the house of God. But let me tell you something, if you ain't careful, you'll let your flesh put everything in the world before your God. And I come to tell you today, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Sister Gail lost her husband last week, but today she's in the house of God lifting up holy hands and magnifying his name. Why? Because she needed an altar to go to and find the Lord. Our praise, our offering, our worship is what's going to bring the Lord into your situation today. Hallelujah. We need to find a place to spend time with the Lord today. If you want God to restore you like he did Noah, you got to do what Noah did and put God first. If you want God to save you like he did Noah, you got to do what Noah did and you got to put God first. Noah said, I got to put my new beginnings in his hands. Come on, this is a new beginning. There's a lot to do. There's a lot to clean up. There's a mess. There's disaster and destruction. There's calamity. There's chaos. There's all of this stuff. It's overrunning my mind. I don't even know what I'm thinking right now. I don't know whether up's up or down's down. I don't know what's going on in my life, but I know that I just got to keep my mind up on the Lord. I just got to keep my mind stayed up on the Lord today. I got to put my new beginning in his hands. I got to put my disaster in his hands. I got to put my mountains in his hands. I got to put my valleys in his hands. Whatever it is, whatever I'm going through, I got to put it in the Lord's hands. I got to keep first things first. And as soon as my storm is over and as soon as the damage is before me, I got to get in the presence of the Lord. Everything's going to be okay. If I can just, Sister Diane, everything's going to be okay if I can just get in the presence of the Lord. Come on, all hell's assailing me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what to do first, but I know everything's going to be okay if I can just get in the presence of the Lord today. Noah learned to put God first. Church, we got to learn to put God first. It's not something that comes natural to your flesh. But I promise you, if you learn to put God first, even though everything in your world is vying for your attention, your children and your grandchildren and their children and their grandchildren will realize and they will see what you did in putting God first. Oh, yeah. What you're doing ain't just affecting you. Your children are watching. Your grandchildren are watching. Come on, your great-grandchildren are going to talk about your faithfulness to God. If you learn to put God first, amen. Me and Sister Wanda was talking before service today about generational curses. Let me tell you something. You can have blessings abiding in your family. You don't have to accept generational curses. They are meant to be broken. You don't have to accept things going wrong in your life. You don't have to be a drunk because your daddy was a drunk. You don't have to be addicted to drugs because your daddy was addicted to drugs. The Lord, the Holy Ghost can set you free. You can have generational blessings upon your life and upon your family today. If you just do what Noah did, build you an altar unto God and let your children see you worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Let your children see you worship the Lord. Noah, let me tell you something. Because Noah built an ark, because Noah built an altar, Abraham built an altar. Ah, God. Because Noah built an altar, Abraham built an altar. And because Abraham built an altar, David built an altar. And because David built an altar, Zerubbabel built an altar. Let me tell you something, you can have blessings in your family. You can have abundance in your family. You can have the favor of God in your family. It's time to destroy some stuff. And the only way you're going to destroy some stuff is by offering an offering unto the Lord and building an altar unto God in the midst of your storm. Hallelujah. Somewhere around 1,500 years after Noah built that altar when he first came out of that ark, straight out of that ark, he built that altar. Somewhere around 1,500 years later, his descendant Zerubbabel walked into the city of Jerusalem. Come on, the Persians had defeated the Babylonians. The Persian king found favor with the people, gave favor to the people of God, and he told him, he said, you can go back to Jerusalem and you can rebuild your temple. So you have a place to worship God. And nearly 1,500 years after Noah set the example to his descendants to build an altar to God when chaos was before him, Zerubbabel walked him to the city of Jerusalem and he surveyed the city and he looked at the houses that were torn down and he looked at the temple that was torn down and he said, let's build an altar unto God. He didn't build his house first. Come on. He didn't restore the city first. He built an altar first. I'm telling you today, you can sow things into your family that the devil can't take out. You can sow things into your family that'll cause you to reap benefits for generations to come. Zerubbabel and that Jewish flow of people, that first crew of people that followed him into the city of Jerusalem, they surveyed that damage. They looked and all the houses were gone. They looked and the temple was gone. They looked and the farms were destroyed. Disaster and destruction were in front of them. They said, what are we going to do? 1,000,001 things need to happen. All of these things are vying for our attention. We got so much to do. We got so much to clean up. We got so much to rebuild. But they put first things first. And they built an altar unto God. Hallelujah. He built an altar unto God. They followed the example that Noah had set before them. And they built an altar unto the Lord. Stand with me today as the musicians come quickly. Whether you're living your best life or whether you're finding yourself coming out of a storm, the answer will always be, there will always be a need for an altar in your life. There will always need to be a place you can find God in your life. The answer is, and the answer will always be, to keep God first in your life. In the good times, church, you need an altar. In the bad times, church, you need an altar. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, all these things shall be added unto you. That's why when the prophet entered into that town and this poor little widow found her and her son starving to death, and she told the man of God, he said, make me a cake. And she said, sir, you don't understand. All this is all I got left. And me and my son, we were about to make us a cake. And we were about to eat that cake. And then we were going to starve to death and die. But by faith, the man of God said, no, ma'am, you're not going to die. And your son's not going to die. Because if you seek ye first the kingdom of God, and if you'll take what you got left and you'll give it unto God, and if you'll feed God's man, if you'll feed God's servant, I'm telling you, the blessings of God, the windows of heaven are going to open upon you. And before she knew it, she was borrowing every vessel she could, and the oil wasn't wasted, and the cake wasn't running out. I come to tell you today, put God first and build yourself an altar. Build yourself an altar today. And put God first in your life. I know sometimes it's uncomfortable. I know sometimes people won't understand it. People will call you a fanatic. People will call you an extremist. But I promise you, they laughed Noah to scorn. But when the floods came and the deep began to pour out water from underneath and the rains fell and the winds blew, and the ark began to lift itself up off the earth, those people, those same scoffers, those same people that was laughing him to scorn found themselves wading through that water and beating upon the door of that ark and begging and pleading, Noah, please let us in. I come to tell you today, if you'll put God first, you can have the same results that Noah did. If you put God first, you can have the same results that Abraham did. If you put God first, you can have the same results that David did and Zerubbabel did. But you got to make up your mind. When life's unfair to you, when people turn their back on you, when things don't go the way you planned for them to go, you got to build an altar to the Lord. You got to put God first in your life. There's a need for an altar on the mountain. There's a need for an altar in the valley. I'll go as far as saying this, from Genesis to Revelation, all the way through the genealogy of Jesus Christ, we see it. You can't be a child of God without an altar. You can't be a child of God without an altar. We got to build an altar to the Lord. We got to put God first in our lives. We got to seek you first, the kingdom of God. And somehow, some way, all these things are going to be added to us. Listen to me, young lady, young man. I know you've been seeking God for somebody to love you. But the answer is not to get weary and go find one for yourself. The answer is to keep on trusting God. Build yourself an altar, and God's going to send you a companion that'll walk with you and pray with you and serve God beside you and train up children to love the Lord with all their heart, all their mind, all their soul, and all their strength. The answer will always be to build an altar unto God. Put him first. You can't be a child of God without an altar. God help us if we ever lose the importance of an altar. We talk so much about the ark that Noah built, but the example that Noah set when he walked out of that ark that day and all the destruction was before him, he started putting stones together. My God. He said, I know what I got to do. I got to get a hold of the Lord. All of this is flooding my mind. All of this is confusing me. All of this is overwhelming me. Raise your hands if you felt overwhelmed by in the last little while. All of this is overwhelming me. Life is coming at me with all that it has, but I know what I got to do. I got to do what Noah did, and I got to put the Lord first, and I got to build an altar so I can get a hold of God. I got to get a hold of him. God, help us if we ever lose the importance of the altar. Church, sometimes the distraction, sometimes the destruction, the calamity before us is so great, we don't even know where to start building at. Let's do what Noah did. Let's follow the example of Noah. Let's put God first. Let's do what Noah did. Let's do what Noah passed down to Abraham. Let's do what Abraham passed down to David. Let's do what David passed down to Zerubbabel. Let's do what the ones who've gone on before us, the ones who trusted in God, the ones who God blessed did. Let's build an altar. Let's start with an altar. Let's finish with an altar. Let's use that altar to get a hold of the Lord today. Let's put God first. Let's keep God's first. Because what we need to do is we need to be able to get a hold of the Lord today. As we sing this closing song, these altars are open.